I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good Saturday morning to you. A chilly one at that. It's still 5 degrees below zero on our way to a warm-up of zero. How's that feel, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney? My goodness.
Only in Minnesota do we say a warm-up to zero.
But then
I know
again,
other cold states too do also. But
and I mentioned it really early this morning, and you and your colleagues have told us, but all the snow that we've received is really a plus.
It's amazing.
If we didn't have this snow and we had this extreme cold, not so good, right?
Yep, exactly. Especially because we had a drier fall, or at least I did at my house. So that frost would be sinking way down, but that snow is like a great big quilt out there for our soil, and it moderates the coldness for them.
Well, every time you're on the radio with us, and we appreciate that, we call you a master gardener, which you are. There's a program involved, and you know we always like to tell our listeners, because so many people, when I think of a master gardener, I think of something I could never become,
you
know, because it's too complicated. but talk about the program. Address that a little bit, and then we'll pick up on some questions. If you have any lawn and garden question, by all means, you can call Teresa. You can send her a text, 651-461-9226. But in the meantime, talk about the program, if you will.
Okay. So right now, we've already got our next crop, so to speak, of master gardeners waiting there in the wings. They'll be starting what's called the Pro Hort course in January. And you, as a private person, could take that course also. You can sign up, and you need to sign up by January 9th, and it starts on the 13th of January. And you would be online, and you do this on your own. It's your own study course. But Master Gardeners, our new interns, will be doing that also. And it's just, you can sign up through the Arboretum. So if you go to the Arboretum and go to their events page, they have a nice little link there. Otherwise, where did I hide the link? It's arb.umn.edu/prohort, P-R-O-H-O-R-T, like horticulture. And you can sign up and see what Master Gardeners learn. And master gardeners are really just people who love to garden, love to learn information from the university and research-based information, and then they want to share that with their neighbors. So think about becoming a master gardener next year, or take the ProHort course if you're in any kind of industry right now. That could really help you. You couldn't advertise yourself as a master gardener, but you would then have a lot of information about where you can help your customers and clients. Or so just learn it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it'd almost be like, as I recall, auditing courses at the U.
Exactly.
You could do that. Now, how long of a program is this? If I wanted to do that, let's say, how long would it take?
So you do it at your own pace. It's 14 modules. So we tell our interns it'll probably take you about 48 to 50 hours. However, there are rabbit holes to go down. And if you really have a passion about learning how to grow tomatoes, you can learn a lot more about tomatoes than you may think. Now, this isn't a free course. You do pay for it. It's basically the Hort course from the university, but it's amazing. So in your spare time, you could just plug in a module whenever you have a minute. And it's all from the comfort of your own home or the local Wi-Fi, wherever you get your coffee from, or wherever you want to just hang out and get away from the family for a while, because you have to go to the library and plug into the Wi-Fi there and study on the ProHort course.
All right, it's a great idea. Sounds like fun. Again, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you know how busy we tend to get here on the show. We urge you to give us a call or send us a text as soon as you think of something. 651-461-9226. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney with us this morning on the show. Good morning, texter says, have you, meaning you, ever planted sweet potatoes and a gardening bag on a deck?
I have not. I have not planted sweet potatoes at all. They usually take a very long growing time, but it should work for you quite nicely. I know a lot of master gardeners are getting them in their community gardens, at their home. They're growing sweet potatoes because our season seems to be lengthening. So there is some preparation for that. You do have to get the potatoes. You've got to get the slips. You've got to get them growing. But they should work absolutely wonderful in a bag on the deck. Go for
okay.
it.
I should have asked you this before, but I was mentioning it earlier this morning about the show, and that here we are in gift-giving season. Mm-hmm. How about some ideas for maybe somebody going to family, friends, relatives, maybe parties, hostess gifts, or just a good holiday gift as far as a green and growing thing?
There are so many green and growing things. The amaryllis, the narcissus, Christmas cactus. There's all just wonderful kinds of things. And if you go to extension.umn.edu, right at the bottom of the page, they have a holiday plant survival guide. So I would caution anybody, if you're going somewhere and giving a gift, to double check that if they have pets or small children, you're not giving them something that could be ingested by the pets or small children. I know cyclamen is extremely poisonous to many pets. But like poinsettias aren't poisonous. They just taste really yucky, and you'd have to eat a whole bunch of it to get really sick. So that would probably stop anybody from nibbling on them. But there's amaryllis. There's Norfolk Island pines. There are, just wonderful things. Paper whites, just beautiful things. Poinsettias, all kinds of wonderful things. And it gives you some information on the extension webpage to how to take care of those if you want. If you're going out now and getting them, double or triple bag them when you come from the store or when you go from your car to where you're visiting with your friends. Put them in a big plastic bag and then poof as much air in there as you can, so it's like a big bubble, and double and triple them. You get below temperatures below zero, and that can really damage the plants if you're bringing them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So just be careful.
Tell you what, let's grab a phone call this morning. Leslie is checking in from Tonka Bay, I do believe. Leslie, good morning. What is your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney?
Good morning, you guys. I love your show. Been watching you for years.
Thanks.
Yes, I have three upright junipers. They're about 6 feet tall. I bought them and planted them last April, and they're doing just beautifully. I've been watering really well. They're doing great. I sit in my sunroom. I looked out the other day at the middle one. I believe it's rabbits have eaten up the bottom of it.
Yep.
Is there anything? I mean, I've got them fenced in now, but is there anything to be done for that? I just feel terrible about it. Thank you.
Leslie, that was something I hope, I didn't hope, I was, well, kind of hoped somebody would bring up. Because the snow has covered so much of the low browsing stuff, the rabbits and even the deer will be really hitting your plants right now. So protection is vital. So you put up that fence. And what you might want to do is walk around those fences and create like a moat so that the rabbits have to be down at the bottom of the moat and they can't just walk over the top of the snow because we have so much snow. Luckily with junipers, they often will have growing points that once they see the sun in the spring and the summer, they may start growing again from the bottom and flush out a little bit. If you find that that does not happen and you still wanted those, that's privacy from neighbors or whatever, you could plant a low growing shrub in front of that juniper, in front of the bare one, that would fluff out that little area a little bit, make it a little more interesting than just three junipers in a line. And it would also cover that bare area. A short growing shrub, maybe a spirea or something like that if it's full sun, or if it's a little shadier area, you could fluff it up with a big, huge, hosta or some nice little shrub that grows in the shade for you. But there's nothing you can really physically do. You just have to hope those growing points can be activated by the sun.
Very
good.
Good
luck, Leslie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for the call. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, by all means, you can call it in, like Leslie, or send a text if that's easier. 651-461-9226. Right now it's 5 below 0 in the Twin Cities, heading for a daytime high of 0. How much? She laughs. Tomorrow, our daytime high, if you want to call it that, we might reach for your Sunday near 8 above, but that's when the big change comes Sunday night overnight. Because by Monday, we could get up to 28. We could be 40 by Tuesday. Stay with us. Call us, text us your lawn and garden question here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. It's 5 below 0. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, nice and cozy, answering those lawn and garden questions this morning, either by phone or by text, as usual. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Speaking of phones, Teresa, Julie is doing that very thing, calling in from St. Louis Park this morning. Hi, Julie. What is your question?
Hi. I've got a lot of amaryllis. They've already bloomed. And I was told just leave them in the window and let all the green leaves absorb the sun. Well, they're done, and now it's December. Do I take them down and put them on the floor? Or, I mean, what? Usually I take them down and leave them in the dark when they have green leaves on, but now I'm stuck. I don't know what to do.
Well, Julie, if you have the room, excuse me, I would leave them up in the windows where they can still be photosynthesizing. Amaryllis bulbs do not need a dormant period. Excuse me. They can be growing all year long for you. So you can leave them up and green and growing all year long as you have room in your house and it's warm enough for them to do that. So if you want some green around your house, even the big strappy leaves, I would leave them up and keep them growing. Again, the Extension website has some great information about how to let them go dormant and bring them back, or how to just keep them as a green houseplant, maybe set them out in the summertime to get extra photosynthesizing so they can even bloom bigger and better next year for you. But you don't have to let them go dormant. You can just keep them green. Good luck with that, Julie.
Very good. Thanks for the call. Yeah, if you want to call and chat with Teresa, that's great. Otherwise, just send her a text. Again, 651-461-9226. Texter wants to know, I know we've covered this before, past shows, Meyer lemon tree. What are all these little bugs around here?
Oh, dear. Could probably fungus gnats, if you're noticing them and they're jumping around. They're little insects that live in the top part of the soil, just the very, very surface of the soil for you, usually in a very wet environment. So if you can back off watering, let the plant dry out just a little bit between waters, that will help. The Extension website also has some more information, extension.umn.edu. And they're called fungus, F-U-N-G-U-S, gnat, G-N-A-T. They're little insects. They lay eggs in the soil, they pupate, then they come out of the soil, fly around, and like little, they kind of look like fruit flies. If they're bothering you, that you think they're a fruit fly, but they're a fungus gnat. You can also just sprinkle some sand on top of the soil, maybe a half an inch to a quarter of an inch sand on top of that soil. That sand will dry out more quickly. And that's where the fungus gnats would normally live and lay eggs. And because the sand dries out, the cycle is kind of broken. And that's one of the easiest ways to get rid of them, or also just back off on watering and let that top bit of soil dry out a little bit. They don't hurt anything. If there's a lot of them, they can do a lot some damage into the plant roots. But normally, they're just eating decaying stuff in the soil. They're just annoying to walk by and have these little flies be.
Where do they come from? Do they come from soil itself, or the other plants, or how do we bring them in? What's the source?
Sometimes I swear it's spontaneous. Living there. But I think they're just always around everywhere. You might get them when you're out walking somewhere. They come in on the wind and they just kind of, like the eggs are there. The eggs get laid and then the eggs just stay dormant until they get activated again by the soil, the extra water that we have to put in the soil in the wintertime. And in the summer, they're eaten by a lot of the insects that are outside, and birds will eat them. So if you bring in plants from outside, you could be bringing in fungus gnats too, and then they will head over to the more hospitable plants, your house plants. I've never really figured out exactly where these things come from. I think they're just in our environment, and they just get activated by conditions. And we just notice them a lot more in the wintertime because we're in our houses longer, and they're just more active.
I was thinking, I'm looking at a text about, and we were talking about gift giving this time of year as far as related to gardening or gardeners, maybe beginning gardeners. Mm-hmm. Texter wants to know, how about some publications? I thought that's a great idea.
You know, that
books,
is
magazines.
That is, there's all kinds of so first of all, I'm just going to plug the Northern Gardener magazine now.
Oh, yes.
That's put on by our Hort Society. That would be a fantastic gift, giving someone that magazine. And then they get, if they're getting the magazine, then they're like a Hort Society member, and they can get some special prices on lots of the classes at the Hort Society that they give. That would be one of the things I would suggest almost every gardener. And they've expanded it now where they're going to be talking a little bit about Wisconsin and North and South Dakota, those northern climates that are much like ours. So it's not just for Minnesota. So if you have a friend in Iowa or Wisconsin or a northern Michigan or something, that might help them too, Northern Gardener. Otherwise, the Arboretum has a fantastic bookstore, and they will be having their sales out there, so you can head out to the Arboretum bookstore. Otherwise, give your friend a gift certificate to maybe the Arboretum gift store, or give them a certificate for any bookstore that happens to be around. And it's always nice because as a gardener, I have a certain kind of books that I like, and some books I'm just not interested in. So I kind of like to page through them a little bit. Maybe your friend can go to the library and page through some library books and say, hey, I really like this book. Or the Extension website will probably have some great information, too, about which books you might like. Otherwise, if they're just starting, maybe a nice trowel or a gift certificate to their favorite garden center so they can go in and feel which trowel feels great for them, or which clippers feel great, or a nice watering can, or a kneading pad, something like that. Gardeners love all kinds of stuff. So even just a gift certificate to their favorite local garden center, with maybe you go with them in the spring and you see, oh, they like those kind of books, or oh, they like that type of clipper. And then you can get some ideas for next year for a very personal kind of gift then.
Excellent. Before we look at that that warming forecast, let's grab another phone call. Marie calling in from Wyoming, Minnesota, I do believe, this morning. Hi, Marie. What is your question for Teresa Rooney?
I'd like to know what the best way is to get my Christmas cactus to bloom. I got some blooms. I don't know if it's a Christmas cactus or a Thanksgiving one, because I got some blooms at Thanksgiving time, but then it quit. So now it's just kind of not healthy.
Not
and
there.
Should I fertilize it?
So you can fertilize it after it blooms. That's fine, because that blooming took a little bit of energy out of it. The thing with to get the cactuses, the Christmas cactus or the Thanksgiving or the Easter cactus, and there are three separate kind of cactuses. They all look very similar until you look at the leaf structure, and then you can say, oh, this is a very different. This is flatter. This is rounder. This is pokier. Not that they have thorns on them or anything like that. They need a difference in coolness between day and night. And that is really easy for us to give them in the fall. If we put them by a window that's not as insulated as we may like, or we put them out on our three-season porch and then we bring them in before the hard frost hits, they then have the difference of day temperatures and night temperatures by about 10 degrees, and that helps to trigger a flowering in them. So you can use your fall next year to maybe set that up and see what kind of cactus it is, and that will help you too. Christmas cactus also like to be snug in their pots, so you don't have to worry about them getting root-bound really fast. You never want to transplant them into a big, huge pot if they're a smaller flower. They do better when they're a little bit root-bound, when there's just a little bit of struggle going on there, and then they can flower. Those are some tips to help you get your cactus to start to bloom. As soon as you start seeing the buds, you want to move it where it's going to be, because those buds, those flower buds, can get knocked off very easily. And then make sure that you put it in an area where it's not in a draft. It's not going to get really cold. It's not going to be in the draft from your furnace or whatever. And people aren't going to be brushing by it and knocking those flower buds off. Good luck.
Teresa, before we break for weather, I was just wondering, will we get any lawn questions this morning at 5 below 0?
I'm thinking.
You never know.
We'll find out. This is Minnesota, Denny.
We'll check out that forecast and then welcome any more lawn or garden questions you may have this morning for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Call us or text us 651-461-9226 with your lawn or garden question here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long back with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, inviting your lawn or garden questions either by phone or by text as usual. And again, if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Here's the phone number. It's also the text number, whichever's easier for you. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Look, we did have a phone call about a Christmas cactus. This one says it drains very black water after it's watered. Some of the leaves are developing purple edges, starting to shrivel, indicating it needs water. Now, should I repot with fresh soil? This is a well-established plant that still blooms annually.
Wonderful. So I'm thinking that's about a Christmas cactus. Is that,
yes,
did they
correct.
Say? Okay. If it's blooming right now, if you transplant it now, you're probably going to disrupt and lose a lot of blooms. But I'm a little worried that there might be some kind of root rot going on in there. I would dark soil and purple leaves, that there is some kind of deficiency going on. There's some problems with it's either rooting the rot, the roots are rotting, or there is some deficiency in there. I would probably, if it was a well-loved cactus and you can say, hey, I don't care about the blooms this year, I'd probably pull it out of the pot and at least see what the roots are doing. If they look all okay, then maybe just gently put it back in the same pot, maybe add some fresh soil at the bottom, whatever soil is at the bottom, get that out of there, get some fresh soil in there around it, put it back in the same pot again, and then maybe give it an all-purpose fertilizer, a half or quarter strength, one or two times, like every other week or something like that, and see if that helps some of that. It could also be just a reaction between the cold or some sunlight that's going on. With cloudy skies, it's really dark out there for our plants in the house, and our houses aren't that bright either. So our plants do kind of suffer from a little bit of lack of sunlight and light to photosynthesize properly. But that's what I would try first of all, and then also go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, see if there's any other troubleshooting that you can do there under the What's Wrong With My Plant.
Looking at a text, Teresa, about what's the best way to grow healthy basil indoors during the winter? That's a good question. Maybe we can talk about things like basil. What can we grow indoors this time of year?
We can grow a lot of our herbs indoors, lettuces, and you can even grow things like kale. You can do a lot of your herbs, chives and basil and, gee, my brain's just not operating. It's not thinking about plants this early in the morning, I think.
It's frozen.
It's frozen.
Yes.
So yes, we can. Most of the time, you're going to find that these plants need as much light as you can give them. So since you aren't going to be trying to get flowers out of these plants, you can just give them a bright light, something that doesn't get too hot when you put it near the plant itself, an LED light, something like that. That's not going to be hot, and then you can set it nearer the plant, and it can get a lot of light. Maybe run that light on a timer, 14 to 16 hours a day. That will help. You don't have to get a grow light unless you're trying to get it to flower. So if you're going to try tomatoes, then you are going to need a full spectrum light, like a grow light, because you will want it to flower. And then hopefully you can help pollinate those flowers and get tomatoes. But we can grow a lot of plants inside. It just depends on how much work you want to put into it, how much light you can give it. And then make sure that the temperatures are like, 67 to 70 degrees to 75 degrees. Your normal nice warm house temperatures. Make sure they're not in a draft. They're not going to get hit by that cold door when you open it. The kids aren't going to be brushing it every time they walk by. Just like that. And yes, you can grow a lot in the house. So basil, go ahead, start it from seed, or if you can buy plants in the nurseries or at the garden centers, just make sure they're wrapped up nice and warm so you can get them to your car and then get them into the house as quickly as possible. So does it very frost sensitive. And then just grow your plants inside, start your seeds. There is some seed starting information on the Extension website too. Then just grow and enjoy.
You mentioned, again, we like to mention that Extension website. It's such a great resource, extension.umn.edu. I'm thinking back too to shows way back when you and I were talking about something you put together, and we haven't talked about it as far as kind of a natural remedy for critters. Tell me about that publication, that thing you put together.
Oh, okay. So, yes, I have written a book, Humane Critter Control, because I'm such a soft-hearted person, even though I have issues with some critters. So it's Humane Critter Control. It's a book, and it's just very common sense, basic things you can do. If you grow it, they're going to come, so you have to be prepared. What are you willing to sacrifice? How much damage are you willing to put up with? How can you share the bounty you're growing with some critters and maybe prevent some critters from taking over? How can you work with some of the pests that you may find, because we're going to get pests out there. I find that the more I can have a very integrated garden, a very diverse garden. There's not like an all-you-can-eat buffet of one plant that attracts that pest. I put things everywhere when I'm growing things, and I try not to grow just one thing, one crop of one thing. I try to hide things everywhere so that it makes it harder for the critters to find what I'm trying to grow. I have given up, however, on my fruit growing. I just have squirrels and raccoons in my neighborhood, and they're just so smart. They've got everything on their GPS, and they know where my apple trees are. And they always get it before I do. So I know I'm not going to get any fruit from my fruit trees, but that's just something I'm going to let them have.
And as far as, well, we know about deer, but maybe the same thing applies to rabbits, and we get questions about that all the time. Mm-hmm. How do you keep rabbits from eating? You got to put up a barrier, right?
It's a barrier. You've got to just be willing to have either chicken wire or hardware cloth fencing in your yard to protect plants that the bunnies are going to get. Now, if you have plants that they like to eat in the spring and you haven't fenced them already, that sounds funny for me to say, you know, you have to fence your tulips in the fall, but those bunnies are out there 24/7. They see when the first little tulips come out of the ground or the first little hostas come out of the ground, and you're still inside because it's still cold outside. You're not thinking about protecting your plants. Well, the rabbits are out there, and all they've had is dry rose stems all winter to eat, and the tree and the bark of your maple tree and your crabapple tree and everything else to eat, and now they have some fresh green stuff. They're going to really eat that. So we have to put fencing up. And if you put up fencing and you just understand that that's part of what you have to do to protect the plants, your eyes just go over it after a while. And I'm kind of the personal opinion that real gardeners enjoy fencing, and that's just part of their aesthetic. So that's my personal opinion, not a university opinion. But yes, you have to put up fencing. That's the easiest. That's the most effective way to exclude them from those plants you don't want them to eat, and then plant plants they want to eat in other places, and have that very diverse ecology going out in your yard, and you'll stand a chance to have a beautiful landscape.
Teresa, many years ago, probably closer to 25, maybe even longer, more, we used to have a gentleman on the air, and I may have mentioned him. He called himself the Friendly Trapper. You would have liked him. Mm-hmm. Harold Bailey was his name. Mm-hmm. And he always said, he would say in his, he was from Ohio.
Ohio.
And he would say that rabbits, first of all, they eat at a 45-degree angle.
Yep.
I don't know how important that was, but
It's extremely important when identifying what's eating your plants.
Sure. And he says rabbits do not like bacon grease. So if you've got some extra bacon grease, there's your natural rabbit.
And there are other things you can use. You can use repellents. You can use blood meal. You can use flashy aluminum foil out there that kind of scares some of the critters away. There are other ways to do it, but they're not as reliable. And yes, so it's really good. That's a good point about the 45 degrees. Rabbits will snip off branches at 45 degrees. Deer will normally kind of mash them a little bit, and they're kind of more raggedy cuts. Plus the deer eat a little higher up, but sometimes they will browse a little lower. So you may not know what's eating. Or if it's just a squirrel, they kind of make weird marks in there. So it's not that perfect 45-degree angle cut. That's a rabbit with those nice teeth. And understand, rabbits and squirrels, their teeth keep growing all the time. They are supposed to browse. They are supposed to nibble on stuff. That's what they have to do so their teeth don't get so long. Plus, they have to eat. So everybody has to eat.
Yeah, you got to eat.
You got
to eat. All right. Need to take a break is what we need to do right now, Teresa. Let's do that and invite our listeners to join in. With any lawn or garden question you may have this morning, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830 WCCO, where it's 5 degrees below zero. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, still have time to answer any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. I did get one about, and I'm not sure about the snow level, about dormant seeding. They heard us talking about, and our or John Trappi mentioning, yeah, on top of the snow, you could spread the seed, and when it melts, it'll have that soil contact. But we have, in some cases, quite a bit of snow now. What do you think of that idea?
You know, it's a chance. You know, dormant seeding is, you know, it depends on so many different things. If you really want to try it, go ahead and try it. I would do it just before you're going to get another snowfall so that fresh seed on top of the soil does not say, hey, birds, come eat here, because they're looking for stuff too. So I would do it just before we get some more snow. But you can give it a shot. I wouldn't count on it 100%, but it may work. It, again, is going to depend upon how fast that snow melts in the spring. If it melts slow, that's good. But if we get a sudden snow melt and everything runs down onto the road, that's not really going to help much because the seeds go with it.
We're talking about repelling animals, critters like rabbits, and I'm looking at a text that says rabbits don't like the human smell, or cats. They suggest using vacuum debris, cat and human hair, to repel them. Would that work?
That might work. Again, rabbits are used to living in an environment, so they're used to a lot of smell. So that's why you have to kind of keep changing things up all the time. They get used to stuff. Go with that for a little while, and then maybe some blood meal for a little while, then another kind of repellent for a little while. Wander around your garden an awful lot so that your presence alone will be obnoxious enough for them to leave. You got to keep changing up. But those are predators. I mean, they would look at us as a predator, although the rabbits in my yard laugh at me because they know this chubby old lady can't move too fast to get them and isn't going to anyway, because they know I wrote a book on humane stuff and they know I'm not going to hurt them.
They've read the book.
Yes. They've read the book and they know that they're safe here. But if you're out there a lot and you know your smell, the rabbits would know that we could be a predator. A cat would be a predator, although we don't want to let our cats out, that they really hit the bird population, the songbird population. So we don't want to use our cats as rabbit hunters. And if you have a dog, that will help. However, the rabbits are a little more active at night when you usually have your Fido inside the house.
I was looking at a text, and I'm glad they put this in, because you and I were talking about gift giving this time of year, and you had mentioned like books, the Arboretum sale. And a text that says, how about a gift of the Arboretum membership?
Oh, my gosh, that's an excellent idea. Good, good. See, you have the smartest listeners, Danny.
We do.
That's a really good idea. A gift of a membership to the Arboretum would be just wonderful.
And you've got different levels there.
Mm-hmm.
I know
mm-hmm.
we have that here at our house, and it's like, just go online. I guess that would be the best idea, right? Go online.
Yep. Go online and check it out, or go visit the Arboretum, because there's a lot of stuff going on at the Arboretum.
Yeah, what is going
on
right
now? During the holidays. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there. So they have the winter lights. There's so that I think is an extra charge. But then they have winter music, and there's some during the day where they bring in beautiful choirs. Well, they're gorgeous singing choirs. And so you can listen to those. That's with your membership. There's choirs that with the winter lights, but that's included in the winter lights. The Apple House Boutique is still going on. There's the Indoor Forest. Oh my gosh. There's all kinds of art. You can, there's a gift market this weekend. There's teas, there's poinsettia trees. So it's good places to maybe take holiday photos, or to just bring those relatives and let them see that, yes, stuff happens in Minnesota all the time. The orchids are blooming in the conservatory, 3 Mile Drive, snowshoeing, cross-country ski trails. Always check the trail. The trail conditions before you go. So if they've... like some of the cross country is a little bare in some areas right now, so it's like only fair or whatever. But lots of the trails. So there's all kinds of stuff to do at the Arboretum.
And your suggestion, especially this time of year when people get friends and relatives coming in town, it's like, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. We got to let's show them someplace. And it's great. The whole family, it's not just adults. The kids, right. Great place for the kids.
There's all kinds of stuff to do.
And there's
do
a place
there.
To eat there, too, if you want
there
to
is,
dine.
There's a wonderful place to eat there, too. Have a cup of coffee between whatever you're doing. Come in, warm up, have a cup of coffee, go back out onto the trails again, walk the trails. Check out what that oak looks like. When it's 100 years old that you're wanting to plant in your backyard in South Minneapolis in our tiny postage stamp yards, check things out. What does a winterberry look like? You know, oh, look at that bush covered with birds. What are they eating? Things like that. You can really get some good ideas and head back home. Once your guests leave, you can go to the extension website and you can go to Plant Elements of Design and see what kind of plants you want. You can get out of a lot of winter chores by doing these things.
Absolutely.
I shouldn't be saying that, should I?
No. That's a great play. It really is such a great resource.
It really
Teresa,
is.
We've only got about a minute or so to go, and a texter wants to know, and I know this is not a heat wave coming, but mm-hmm. would this 40-degree temperature on Tuesday make any changes in our plants that kind of get them crazy?
Probably not, because it's just so short-lived. It would have to be, you know, a number of days in a row to really impact the plants. One day in the middle of winter, the plants will go, oh, it got a little warm, and then they're done again. So we should be okay. That's a really good question to think about.
I hear a critter in the background before we let you go. Now, who's that?
She wants under the blankets. That's my queen lady cat, her royal adorableness. She's mad that I'm not letting her under the blanket.
Well, she'll have a chance now to do that.
Yes, she will.
Teresa, thanks so much. Merry Christmas. Thanks so much,
Merry
Teresa.
Christmas.
And I know we'll talk soon.
Yep, we'll talk after Christmas. Take care,
Good
everyone.
Deal. Thank you. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney and friends.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.